Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is IMTM Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL, a special day show. We don't do day shows quite often, but we got one today for you. 646-652-4479 is the number, of course. And as usual, we want to go ahead and give a quick shout out to a lot of our fans out there in the metaverse, I guess you could say. Atlanta Braves fans on the fan group page there, New Pack City, Atlanta Bird Gang, and all our followers on Twitter. Don't forget now, if you're watching this but you know you can't watch, you can always go to the IMTM Worldwide Radio page on Blog Talk Radio and listen to the show there live. And, of course, you can listen to past shows on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Alexa, call out Alexa's name and it'll play. Of course, thanks again to the Originative Brand on Instagram for the new first Around the ATL shirt. Appreciate that. Make sure you go to their page on Instagram and get your custom Atlanta sports apparel. Make sure you let them know Around the ATL sent you. Let's go ahead and bring in our co-host for today, Mr. Jordan Jackson. Jordan, how are you doing?
What's going on, sir? Doing well on this beautiful day in the ATL. As always, you know, like the show Around the ATL, I'm never at home. I'm always somewhere around the ATL. And so today we're coming to you from the lovely DeKalb County Stonecrest area today.
Okay.
Shout out to all those out there who listen to us and watch us. Follow us on Twitter, the Braves Twitter, Hawks Twitter, all of our Atlanta sports fans. We thank y'all so much for listening.
So today we have a very special show planned. We have a guest that represents actually our first baseball-related interview. Very excited about that. Mr. Marvin Freeman pitched for the Atlanta Braves, starting in that historical year for the Braves, that 91 season, and helped the Braves win back-to-back division titles and get to the NL championships 2 years in a row. And after a great career, he turned to coaching, and then he created the Marvin Freeman Youth Foundation. So we're going to get to talk about all of that and above. Let's go ahead and welcome our special guest this afternoon, Marvin Freeman. Marvin, how you doing, sir?
What's up? What's up? What's up, ATL? What's going on?
Man, so excited to have you on the show. Now, I don't know exactly where you are, but hopefully you're staying warm because it's frigid out there today, ain't it?
Come on, man. I'm from Chicago. I moved down here 5 years ago. I got my shirt off. I'm outside actually barbecuing right now.
Oh, man. I got you. Well, again, appreciate you taking, you know, some time out with myself and Mr. Jordan, and we don't want to take too much of your time, but we definitely want to go ahead and get into it. So my very first question to you, and this should be an easy one for you, was baseball always a goal for you when you were younger? And what made you actually move towards baseball as a career eventually?
Well, you know, I grew up in Chicago, like I said, and we had two baseball teams that were on every day, the Cubs and the White Sox. And, you know, being a athlete, we had to play every sport, you know, whatever season it was. You played football season, you played football, basketball, and so on and so forth. But baseball, I'd always excelled because I watched the games all the time. I used to try to emulate Ferguson Jenkins and Big Lee Smith when they came in and pitched for the Cubs. And, you know, I played around the neighborhood. We played sandlot baseball. And I just always knew that I could play baseball. And in Chicago, it's usually a basketball town. So I was kind of like forced to play basketball being tall. You know, I'm 6'7", and, you know, everybody thought I was going to be a basketball player until I got dunked on by Terry Cummins in high school. And that made me realize right then that I didn't have no future in basketball. So I pursued baseball because I was always, like I said, I was good at it. I was big. I was athletic, and I love pitching. You know, pitching is the number one position on the field, and I always want the people to looking at me. The mound is kind of like a stage, and, you know, I like to talk a lot of smack, and I like to make sure that everything's going from my hand before anything else happens. So I always pitched, didn't want to play any other positions. And I told my mom when I was seventh or eighth grader that I was going to make it to the major leagues, and that was my goal, you know, starting out, and it kind of came to fruition.
Well, actually, you kind of segue into my immediate second question. What was your journey like from being drafted to getting your first pitch with your first club, which was Philadelphia?
Okay, I could tell that story. I got drafted out of high school, actually, by the Montreal Expos. They're the Washington Nationals now. And I knew I wasn't mature enough to go and play pro ball at 18 because I had never been out of Chicago that much, and let alone lived out of the city. So I had to do some growing up. So I took a scholarship at Jackson State University, and I played 3 years of baseball in the SWAC, and that was an experience in itself because back then the SWAC was, I used to call it the junior version of the Negro Leagues because everybody talked a lot of smack in the SWAC, and if you didn't go down there ready to prove your point, you were going to get eaten alive. So it kind of prepared me for pro ball. After my third year at Jackson State, I was taken by the Phillies in the second round, and that was in 1984. I made it to the major leagues in 1986. My first major league win was against the New York Mets, the year they won the World Series, 1986. And on that day, my daughter was born during the game. So I had a lot of things happen for me that day that was, you know, monumental, life-changing, memories that I'll never forget. And from that point on, I played from 86 to 97 with the Phillies, Braves, Rockies, White Sox, and I finished up with the Toronto Blue Jays. And that was my journey from high school to college to the minors to majors, and then now I'm in my second career as a coach, mentor, and motivator for these young men out here that's trying to do the same thing.
Very, very detailed description. Appreciate that. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Jordan, I know you have a question for Mr. Freeman.
Yes, sir, Mr. Freeman. You pitched in 221 games starting 78. So you have the unique experience of being both a starting pitcher and a reliever at the highest level. Could you speak a little bit to the difference in mindset of preparation for starting the game versus coming out of the bullpen for a game?
Yeah, you know, that's something I try to teach to my pitchers now because everyone thinks that they're going to be a starter. I started my entire career until I got to the Atlanta Braves. And when I came to the Braves, they had three Hall of Fame guys in the rotation, Maddux, Glavin, and Smoltz. So it was pretty hard for me to crack that rotation as a starter. So I had to learn how to prepare myself, how to get mentally prepared to pitch and be ready to go every day. So I was more in the mindset of an everyday player when I was a reliever. Couldn't have a routine like I did as a starter. Had to come to the ballpark every day ready to get used. Had to understand what situations I was going to be used in so I can get mentally prepared and things wouldn't jump up and surprise me when they say, hey, Free, you up, man. And, you know, I don't want to be, you know, unprepared. But as a starter, you got 5 days to kind of get into a groove. You can have a workout routine. You can even play, you know, play golf in between. There was no golfing as a reliever. These guys, you know, you better be ready when you get to the park or Bobby Cox was going to send you back to the minors. And, you know, it was just a different situation of mental preparation. But when it all comes down to it, you still got to make pitches. You still got to get guys out. And that's what I try and get across to the young pitchers today is no matter what role you're in, you still have to get guys out. So I really just try and teach these guys how to pitch, how to coach themselves, and how to be the best player that they can be when they're called upon.
And that's very important. Jordan, you got a secondary question?
Yes, I do. You mentioned only becoming a reliever with the Braves. And when you went to Colorado, you were a starter once again. In fact, in 1994, you set the ERA record for a Colorado Rockies starting pitcher with a 2.80. That's a record that still stands today. What did you figure out that nobody else could about pitching successfully at Coors Field?
Well, you know what, man? It's funny because I had just left the Braves, and I got to see Maddox pitch for 2 years. And when I went to Colorado and became a starter again, I told myself, I'm going to do everything Mad Dog did. I'm going to get strike one. I'm going to sink the ball. I'm going to attack the zone with all my pitches. And I'm going to make sure I keep the ball down. It was hard to do that in Colorado if you tried to overthrow because – so thin, and when you try to throw that breaking ball and overthrow it, it just kind of spins and hangs up there. So you had to be a little bit more patient with what you were trying to do, not try to do too much, try and really focus on location more than speed, and try and get guys to hit the ball the other way. You can check swing and hit a ball out of the ballpark in Colorado back in the day because there was no humidor. It was the steroid era. So it was really tough on pitching, but like I said, growing up in Chicago, playing in the SWAC, it made you mentally tough and it made you a competitor, and that's all I did was try to compete with the best approach that I had, which was throw strike one, keep the ball down, and let my defense do the work for me. And I checked the Rockies every year to make sure that record is still going on.
Yes, sir. I love the fact that you show pride and playing at the SWAC and well. In fact, there's been a lot of talk in the media lately about who's SWAC and who's not SWAC. So.
Oh, yeah. My man Dion, we played together in Atlanta. So even though he didn't go to Jackson State, he's SWAC. Because he's SWAC, he can talk that smack. So I love it, man. I love what he's doing for Jackson. Love what he's doing for the conference. Love what he's doing for college football. And we need more guys out there that's going to step up and do those kind of things because these kids don't have the resources that a lot of these other Power Five universities have, but they still have the same desire and aspirations of playing at the next level, and all they need is a chance and some resources to give them that opportunity.
Exactly. Mr. Freeman, I have a question for you. From the fans' perspective, we know how we were feeling when – the 91 season was unfurling itself and getting all the way down to October, and then, of course, the 92 season. Can you tell us a little bit of how it was as a player actually there in Fulton County on a regular basis and when you started to realize, okay, we're kind of in it, and then all of a sudden, well, shoot, we got a shot, and then all of a sudden, well, we're there. Can you kind of give us a little bit of an essence of what that was as a Brave back then?
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I started with the Braves in 90, and over at Fulton County Stadium, we probably was averaging 6,000-7,000 fans a game. So it wasn't like it was any pressure or anything. We were just trying to establish ourselves as major leaguers. And then fast forward to 91, we're playing okay, kind of mediocre at the first half of the season. We go into the All-Star break. We were like 10 games behind the Dodgers. And, you know, I guess we just had a self-check after the All-Star break. Everybody went home, got some rest, and came back ready to go. And after the All-Star break, I think we made up probably about 6 or 7 games within that first 2 weeks. And then we start thinking to ourselves, hey, man, you know, these guys ain't looking at us like we going to be a problem, so let's keep sneaking up on them. And by the time August and September hit, it was a pennant race back and forth every day with the Dodgers. And Daryl Strawberry came out and said, "Ah, that's the Braves. We ain't got to worry about them, you know." And that kind of gave us the kind of spark that we needed. And then the fans in Atlanta start coming out, and you couldn't get a ticket into Fulton County Stadium because every night it was packed. Dion came in from Florida State with that tomahawk chop. They start chopping. When they start chopping, we start raking. pitchers start pitching. Every night it was almost like a playoff game, and it was a party, and it was just an incredible experience, not only for the players, but for the whole city of Atlanta. And I'm just looking back on that, it just reminds me of a movie that, you know, that movie Major League, when they had a team that was really not supposed to do anything, and then they came out and made it to the playoffs. So I kind of parallel our 91 season to that movie. And it was almost like a dream come true. We came up a little short at the end, but didn't stop a million people from coming to a celebratory parade that we had through the streets of downtown Atlanta. And it was just something that I'll never forget.
Absolutely incredible time. From a fan's perspective, I certainly agree with that.
Yeah, I'll always remember those couple of years there. Just the Braves have been down for such a long time, but as a real fan, you stay with that team because you just never know. That's the whole principle of being a fan, and so I've always appreciated that time period. Of course, now I want to jump ahead a little bit, Mr. Freeman. So after you kind of finished up your career, which was a great career, I think you said Toronto was your last stop, and then you retired. How did you get to the point where you started thinking about coaching others, especially young men? Because I want to go ahead and start talking about the Marvin Freeman Youth Foundation. So how did that become a goal for you? How did it come about? What exactly do you do specifically? Kind of give us some information about the foundation.
Well, how I got into coaching was when I retired, I had a newborn son. That was my son Justin was born in 96. I retired in 97. And then, as he started growing, I started, coaching his little league teams. And I was just seeing that it was a lack of information given to a lot of the African-American players. They didn't have the kind of resources of having, quality coaching. Most of the guys were dads and uncles that, might have played a little sandlot ball. They did what they could. They taught them what they knew. As my son got older and went to high school, I became the varsity baseball coach. So I coached him 4 years in high school, but throughout that process, he played summer ball. So I got a chance to see what the summer ball circuit was like, got a chance to go out and coach other kids and see how important it was for them to have some information that was going to actually be accurate and useful. And then once he graduated from high school, he went on to college at Southern University. It's funny because he went to the SWAC too. He didn't want to go to Jackson State. He didn't want to follow old Pops' path. He wanted to create his own. And so we were rivals all the way through college as well. Every time Jackson State and Southern played, we'd be sitting around with our shirts on, pointing the finger at each other. But anyway, getting back to how I started coaching, I started coaching with the White Sox has a program in Chicago called the ACE program, and it's sponsored by the Chicago White Sox, and they pay for all of the uniforms, travel fees, and expenses for these kids because the pricing of travel baseball has gotten so out of hand. A lot of kids from, underprivileged, under-resourced neighborhoods, and they can't afford to pay $3,000 or $4,000 to play summer baseball. So the White Sox took care of that. I started to really get a better grasp on how I can make a better impact in helping, as many as I could to bridge that gap from the financial to the informational resources to help them become better ball players, maybe grab a chance to get a college scholarship, and if they even were really good, maybe have a chance to go play pro ball. So once I moved down to Atlanta, I saw the need to kind of continue to help kids in the area of pitching. And so in 2016, we moved down here, and my wife and I, we started the Marvin Freeman Youth Foundation in 2018, and we tried to help underserved kids in baseball by having them motivate themselves through community service, public service, and academic achievement. So if you're getting good grades and you're doing community service and you got good character, we were taking care of your travel expenses, and we were trying to do free youth clinics, trying to do events that would like bring kids together just so they can see what it's like to give back. And that's been a mission of ours, because I was kind of doing it for free and doing it for so long in Chicago. And so we decided to make it official and start this foundation. And that's where we're at now.
Man, that's such an awesome story. And it is something that's needed, because, again, these young men today, they need motivation. They need guidance. They need mentorship. And there's so many, of course, that are obviously athletic, and there's still a whole contingent of young men that still, even though the contracts tell you need to be playing baseball, they still try to still gravitate to the other sports a little bit. And so just having someone like you out there kind of being able to get people, you know, closer to that and molding them and giving them that those opportunities to, you know, just do more. And like you said, kind of feel the benefit of what it means to kind of give back. But then also, well, you might spawn the next generation of pitchers out there at a certain point. So I really appreciate what you're doing there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And throughout these last couple of years, I have about 8 or 9 pitchers that's going in the draft.
Oh, wow.
Most of these guys are from Atlanta. They're all African-American guys. So I'm just really trying to get more guys to understand that, you know, you can be a pitcher and you can be a black guy that's on the mound. And,
yeah.
You know, that this is very inspirational to the younger kids coming up behind them, because they'll see a guy that I'm working with doing a pitching lesson, and they'll be coming right after them, and then they'll see this guy get drafted, and they're like, well, hey, maybe I got a chance too. I'm working with a guy that's working with guys that's getting drafted, so maybe it'll make me work harder. It'll inspire me to do some of the things that he's asking me to do on my own, the practice techniques, the working out, the practicing of discipline and things of that nature, and let's see how far I can carry this. So it's really been rewarding to see the success that the foundation has had, my Freeman Baseball Pitching Academy has had, and things of that nature is just really a driving force to make me get up and want to do more every chance I get.
Man, I definitely appreciate your efforts for sure, Mr. Freeman. Jordan, I know you have another question.
Yes, and my question kind of plays along those same lines of what we were just speaking about there. Some players I grew up watching were guys like Doc Gooden, Dave Stewart, Dave Winfield, Fred McGriff, Darryl Strawberry, Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr. Also learned about a lot of the greats like Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Willie Stargell from my grandfather, who was a baseball fan, took me to Cooperstown to the Hall of Fame when I was a kid. Obviously, we love everybody on around the ATL, but we are black men. So as a black American man, I'd like to ask, what do you think kind of contributed to the decline in black American star baseball players? And are you seeing a resurgence in this area through the work that you're doing with your youth foundation?
Yeah, we're actually seeing a pretty good growth. I work with Major League Baseball's youth development program, and just in this past draft, 4 out of the first 6 players taken in the first round were black guys. They came through our program, so we're getting a chance to put our hands on these guys when they're 14, 15, 16 years old, instilling some proper fundamentals in them, instilling some values that they need to take into baseball. It's going to be a slow process. Like I mentioned earlier, with the travel baseball and the expenses, a lot of guys can't afford to, you know, ask their parents for the kind of money it takes to play and then travel with this team on their own dime. You know, you got to go and play in other states, and you got to pay for your hotels, and you got to pay for your travel. So it gets a little bit pricey. As in football and basketball, you know, you're getting the resources from the gate. You know, the people that are supporting that, they have a lot more money that they can give to the program. And plus, you don't have to pay that type of money to play. If you're good, you're going to play anyway. And, you know, you see in baseball, the amount of scholarships in college is only 13. You're only getting 11.5 scholarships in baseball. And who wants to go to college on a baseball scholarship and have to pay money out of their pocket? Because most of the scholarships are partial, And so you're going to pay, and then you got to go to class, and then you got to play baseball. So all these other sports, you go in as a football player or a basketball player, you don't have to worry about paying your tuition or anything else because that's going to be taken care of. So a lot of guys have chosen to, you know, especially the athletic guys, have chosen to take the football and basketball route because it's really pricey to play baseball. But the love of the game is what we're trying to really push. And if you don't love baseball, you're going to quit anyway because it's such a hard game. And, you know, like I said, it's so hard and it costs so much to play. A lot of guys have chosen not to play. And so that's my reasoning behind it. So I could be wrong, but that's what I see from the outside looking in. And we're trying to do something to help get those things a little bit more balanced.
That's tremendous. And I think you're absolutely right. Cause I didn't really think about the partial scholarship aspect of it, but when I think back in college, I had friends that were baseball players, and a lot of them were on partial scholarships. So that's absolutely correct.
That's a great perspective, too.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that was a great perspective, and I think a lot of people will appreciate hearing it, you know, spoken just like that, because it's important. It's a big deal right now. You know, over the years, to, you know, try to, you know, stem the tide of regressing and trying to, you know, push forward with pitching in the major leagues at a certain point, and having someone to kind of walk you through all those steps is a big deal, too. If they know they have support, they'll try more, I feel.
Yes, sir.
Got another question. Actually, I got a mystery box type of a question for you. So, Mr. Freeman, one of the reasons that, well, other than that you were a former Brave, that I wanted to interview you, I was on Instagram and it just popped up in my feed, and you were, it was on your Instagram page, and you were talking about pitching to the Hawk, Andre Dawson. And you broke it down so completely that anybody could make sense of what you were talking about, even if they maybe never have watched baseball before. So question to you, do you believe that you would ever take a coaching job with one of the big clubs?
You know, I've been offered pro pitching assignments, but with analytics, it's so difficult to kind of, you know, teach individuals the things that they need to know to keep making progress. That's why I work with so many minor league pitchers on my own in the off season. I'm not going to base how a guy does by what the numbers of a radar gun or a Rapsodo tells me. If it tells me a guy's breaking ball is not breaking as hard as it should, I mean, the hitter is going to tell you that. You hang a breaking ball, you don't need no machine to tell you it's not a good pitch. That outfielder going to be looking up in the stands, he can yell out to you, hey, that ain't a good pitch, bro. So, you know, just trying to get guys to understand what's important, which is the result, is what I try to get across. I know a lot of guys that coach in the minor leagues and their hands are tied. They just can't do a lot of things that they need to do to make guys better. You know, the travel is brutal. I've been traveling with Major League Baseball for so long. I promised my wife that I would sit down and be a little bit more local. And it's just not, you know, something that I really want to do. Although I still help guys that are in the pros, I don't think I can be tied to a organization unless the Braves brought me in and let me coach their Major League team. And then I can come home every night and then, you know, go over there.
But
that would probably be the best case scenario for me.
Hint, hint. Jordan, you got one more question for Mr. Freeman?
I do. You have the unique experience of playing for both the Braves and the Phillies who just met in the NLDS. How did that affect your watching that series? Were you rooting for one team versus the other? Were you torn between the two? Being both two former teams?
I'm never like torn. I mean, I'm always going to be a Brave. I loved my experience here in Atlanta. The Phillies actually gave me my first opportunity to be pro. And I look at the games from a different perspective. I'm a fan of pitching. So whoever's pitching the best, that's who I'm rooting for. And if you're not getting it done on the mound, I can't be pulling for you if you're hanging breaking balls or getting behind in counts. I'm pulling for the guy that's getting it done. That's who I'm rooting for. I don't have a particular team that I kind of follow and cheer for. I'm not really that type of a fan. I'm a fan of the game altogether. And if you saw my Instagram or Facebook, I had a Braves baseball card up there, and it transitioned over into a Phillies baseball card as soon as that game ended. And it was like a funny joke, because I was like, I'm jumping on whoever bandwagon is winning. If I played on that team and they still in it, I'm riding with them.
There you go. You played for the privilege to do that too, so no worries on that at all. I got a question from a fan. Got Cal Cutter off of Facebook. He wanted to know your thoughts on these young Braves that helped the team do so well this year, namely Strider and Michael Harris. He wanted your thoughts on those two players.
Well, actually, Michael Harris is one of the guys that I trained when he was 16, 17 years old. Michael Harris could have been a major league pitcher. He was a lefty that threw 94 to 95 miles an hour, that was fearless with three-pitch mix. And I thought he was going to get drafted as a pitcher, but he was so good with that bat, and he can run things down in center field. Him being from Stockbridge, he played on the Marquise Grissom baseball summer team down here. And that was the team that I started coaching when I first moved down here. Marquise is one of my closest friends. And Michael Harris is going to be the rookie of the year in my books, whatever anybody says. He's always been my rookie of the year. And those young Braves, I mean, they got an opportunity to play a long time together and have a lot of success. And I'm just wishing them all the best. And I hope they keep bringing up guys from Georgia, especially the ones that I work with, because that just makes me look more and more
I'm saying.
Like a genius.
You're a genius. Man, Mr. Freeman, I really appreciate you taking some time out today. I know it's the middle of the day, but I really appreciate you being able to, you know, talk to us about baseball. And before I let you go, I do got a couple of things. How can people find out more about your foundation? How can they find you online? Are you on social media? Go ahead and throw those out for everybody.
Oh, yeah, I'm on all social media under Freeman Baseball. Twitter, I'm Freeman Baseball. Instagram, I'm Freeman Baseball. Facebook, I'm Freeman Baseball. And if you want to check out my website, it's the Marvin Freeman Youth Foundation.org. We're putting together some things now. We're having a free pitching clinic for 10 to 14-year-olds over the Thanksgiving weekend. Out in Douglasville. There'll be more information about that on the website. And like I said, man, I'm trying to grow the game, and I'm trying to give these guys some resources that when they step on that mound, they believe they know what they're doing. And most of the stuff that I put on my Instagram is, although it's funny, some of it is funny, a lot of it is informational, and a lot of it is instructional. So you can't go wrong on there. If you're a pitcher, you can learn a lot of different things that you – going to come across as you're on the mound and how to approach the game. And it's been getting a very good reviews from a lot of people. So I'm going to try and keep it going, man, because, you know, I can reach so many more people on social media, but the ones that I reach in person, they get it straight to the vein. It's 100% real. And the parents appreciate it because they know that I'm looking out for the interests of their child and trying to make them the best player that they can be.
Exactly. Well, Mr. Freeman, again, we here at Around the ATL, myself and Jordan, he'll say his in a second, but definitely appreciate you being on. And I really do feel that a lot of people will appreciate what you had to say this afternoon, especially about our young men getting out there and just doing more. And really, you have proof in the pudding. You've got somebody who's the rookie of the year that you directly work with. So that's really cool right there. Jordan, go ahead and say your last.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, well, first of all, I enjoyed watching you pitch for the Atlanta Braves. And you know, I couldn't let this go without commenting the fact that everything that I have read and heard also talked about how important you were from a chemistry aspect to the team, that you were one of the liveliest personalities on the team, that you kept everybody loose and you know, brought everybody together. And I think that you translated that personality into what you're doing with these kids. And that's so appreciated, man. So I just want to wish you the best in your foundation. I hope everything continues to just grow and prosper, and you continue to just put more and more young men, you know, to the major leagues, or at the very least, you know, helping them get that solid foundation and being great people as well. So we thank you so much for joining us on Around the ATL, Mr. Freeman. And like I said, just wish you continued luck and growth in what you're doing.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys having me. And, you know, again, everything you do is going to reflect in your fruits. And I'm trying to put out good fruits so that these guys can, you know, have some an opportunity to spread this on to someone else when they get a chance to. So we just passing the torch, man. We passing the baton, and we trying to run this race the best way we can. And, again, thank you guys for having me on. And have everybody follow me on Freeman Baseball.
We got you covered. No problem. No problem at all. You have a nice one and have a nice rest of the day, okay?
All right. Take care, guys. Anytime.
Thank you, Marvin. You too, sir.
All right.
We want to say thank you again for Mr. Freeman. Make sure you go to Instagram, Freeman Baseball, Twitter. Make sure you also go to his website. I'll pull that up real quick again. If I can get it, here we go. MarvinFreemanYouthFoundation.org is the website for that. Definitely support. You know, he's bringing up some young men who are doing things. That's like, you can't get better than that. Like, he's direct, 16 years old. Micah Harris could have been a pitcher, but
wow.
You know, who knew, right? So that's always a cool thing when we have guests on Around the ATL, is that you find out things that you didn't anticipate. You know, I'm just saying, you know, that's why I threw out the mystery question. You know, all of a sudden, you know, down the line, you might see a Master of Atlanta Braves, you know, manager one day. You never know. I'm not throwing out no controversy. You know how we do on Around the ATL. Anyway, make sure you're subscribing to IMTN Worldwide Radio page to be able to watch and listen to episodes like this on Around the ATL. And again, we want to thank, you know, Marvin Freeman for being on the show, being gracious with his time. You know, in the middle of the week, you know, he's very busy, obviously. But he was great, you know, very gracious, as I said, with his time. And we learned a lot today, you know, and that's the other reason I like to do these type of interviews, is that you get to learn things that you didn't know before. Jordan, how'd you feel about our interview this afternoon?
I thought it was outstanding. And, you know, after talking with Mr. Freeman, it's easy to see how he was a deep guy in the clubhouse, how he was a guy who kept everybody together and kept the morale high in the locker room, because he just has that type of personality. And I really, you know, respect everything he's doing with these young men. That's one of the things that I have been concerned about in recent years, on why our young men weren't really playing baseball at near the same rate. And I think he really explained a lot of the reasons why, and more importantly, he's offering solutions, you know, including to help those guys, you know, with their travel, as long as they're making good grades, which is also motivating them to do good in school. I just think the whole program he's got going on, man, is just a tremendous, tremendous thing. And I think the other thing about the interview that I really enjoyed is how we get into some of the names I haven't heard in a long time, like Big Lee Smith he brought up, you know what I mean, Ferguson Jenkins he brought up, talk about, you know, being good friends with Marquise Grissom, you know what I mean, and I mentioned some of the greats as well. And then he even mentioned getting dumped on by Terry Cummins, which is also another name.
Didn't see that coming. It was life-changing, though, right?
I tell you what, though, if you're playing basketball at a high level, we've all gotten got one time. I told us.
I actually have not been dunked on, Jordan. Sorry, it hasn't happened to me yet.
Well, I tell you, if you play with enough athletes, it will happen, because I've only got once, and it was in a real game in high school. And the guy who dunked on me went to my church, which made it worse. But he was the state high jump champion.
Oh wow!
So you talk about a guy that had some ups. You know what I mean? It's like, I knew once I couldn't get up to him before he jumped, I knew what time it was. But the thing was, when I grew up, when we grew up, you could not run away from getting dunked on. that will get you put on the bench.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to stand in there and try to stop that guy or try to take a charge or try to commit a foul if he just got you, But not to stray too far away because, you know, and I appreciate that question by Cal because that would have been my next question, you know, had I had another question, would have been to ask him about these young Braves he had. And to get a chance to hear that about Micah Harris, as you mentioned, that was tremendous. Like, I know a lot of those guys that come up are athletes and used to play multiple sports and whatnot, but I had no idea that he was good enough as a pitcher that he could have potentially been a major league pitcher. I mean, it just shows you how great of an athlete he is because he's probably a top 3 to 5 defensive center fielder already in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Great with the bat, great with his legs. So that was something I really enjoyed hearing as well.
Well, you never know. All of a sudden, we got our own Otani out here in Atlanta. You never know. In a pinch, I mean, you know, might have to get him out there. I don't know. So everyone, we're definitely appreciative of who all were able to. I know this is the middle of the day. It's, you know, lunchtime. You know, you're working and everything. But thanks to those who have gotten a chance to watch live and those who will, of course, listen later on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, all that kind of good stuff. But, of course, still watch the actual show on your downtime. Make sure you follow IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube and pull up Around the ATL. All the episodes will be on there. Definitely appreciate that. Also, of course, if I can pull it up, follow us on Twitter. Jordan is on Jordan23ATL on Twitter. I'm IntellectATL. And you could always follow the IMTM Radio page on Twitter as well. But until next time, we're going to have to go ahead and skedaddle out of here. Jordan, any final thoughts before we Friday will be my first Atlanta Hawks game in a couple of years. So we will be trying to do a little live version of Around the ATL at State Farm Arena on Friday. So look out for me there. Hopefully we can figure out where we're going to kind of post up at. And if all of a sudden on 92.9 The Game, you don't hear Steve all of a sudden, you know what happened. Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I'm not trying to get Steve out of there. I just want to just to join him in the broadcast, you know, go from a one-man booth to a three-man booth real quick. I mean, you know, what could go wrong? You know what I'm saying? But where I was going to go was in a similar direction, but what I was going to say is the Atlanta Hawks do open the season tonight against the Houston Rockets at home. And so we'll definitely be watching intently to see the first game with this new-look Hawks team, this more high-power Hawks team. Don't have any injuries outside of Bogey, who we knew was going to be out. So we, you know, really should get a good look at what those guys have going on. So, as always, it's go Hawks, as it's go Falcons, go Dogs, and all of our Atlanta sports teams, except George team. you know, it's so certainly we'll be looking forward to that tonight. Want to thank everybody, like Chris said, just want to reiterate that, you know, everybody who's able to check this out. And as always, I want to thank our podcast, you know, listeners who watch or listen to the program after the fact because they aren't able to catch us live. And last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love.
Thanks again for Marvin Freeman for appearing on the show. Make sure you go to Marvin Freeman Youth Foundation and Freeman Baseball on Instagram. Make sure you support them. Thanks for the Originative Brand for giving us the first Around the ATL shirts. Make sure you go to the Originative Brand on Instagram. Go ahead and get your custom sports apparel that is based on Atlanta and the state of Georgia. Make sure you let them know. You have some great stuff on there. Make sure you support. Until next time, we'll talk to you all later. Peace.
Thank you.